Someone once said, you're either in a storm, you just came out of a storm, or you're about to go back in a storm. And it's good to know who's with you in the storm. And today's message I want you to take very seriously. I know that that is probably what you do every service, but I want to draw attention to your minds and hearts today. As a pastor, there are times where you stand in the pulpit and you feel the weight of the moment. Whether it is the church is doing well and you don't want to be a person that's in the way of momentum. I do not ever want to stop the momentum of what God is doing in his house. And so I want to make sure my heart is right and make sure that I'm ready and studied and all of those things that go along with every sermon that you preach. But there are times when you sense something in the church, and then you not only see it as momentum, you see it as having to warn. And today's messages are a warning. This is not, in my years past, I would have probably just said this is a threat. When I was 26, everything was a threat. Get right or else, or I'm going to just change the title on the message, but I'm still going to just beat you for 2 hours throughout the day today. As I've gotten older, I realize that sheep not only need to be sheared sometimes, but they need to be fed sometimes. They need to be watered sometimes. They need to be exercised sometimes. They need to be led to different pastures. They need to lie down. They need to rest. They need to, all of those things the Bible compares shepherd and sheep. And we've got to treat sometimes our folks that way. But this is a warning message. This is a message that I'm saying as your pastor, that if we're not careful, we're going to get back into something, into some briars and bushes that we've come through in the past, some rocks and some cliffs that we've fallen off of before, some things that have happened in our church's life that we do not want to revisit. And so I just hope that you'll lend an ear today and listen very closely. I would like to shout most of this message, but I realize that that'll fall short of what God wants me to do. So I'm just asking you, with all my heart today, as your pastor, as your preacher, that you'll listen very closely to what God has for us. And if I could say this, I'd really, really am asking you to be in both services. We need this as a church. I don't say this before every sermon I preach. I don't necessarily try to say every message is the life-changing message. Somebody said their life has been changed so much they don't even know who they are anymore. So I don't want to use phrases to try to get you to come back tonight. I'm just saying to you as a pastor that the message will be complete if you'll be in both services. And I think we need them because there are positives and negatives that I'm going to be talking about today. And if you're sitting there going, what is happening? Most women are, because women are nosy. And women want to know what's going on. I've learned that after 17 and a half years of marriage, that if you say, honey, I need you to pray, I just got some things going on. If you say things going on, your wife will ask you until you tell her what things are going on. And so I don't want to alarm you, and I'm probably not going to be very, very specific about things in the church today, but I am going to preach this message as a warning to us that we've been by this way before, and we have traveled this road, we have taken this detour, we have hit these bumps in the road, and I have no interest of going down those roads again. So I, as a pastor, am taking our church off of that road, and this is today the message that I believe God wants us to hear. When we're talking about being rooted in Christ, a couple weeks ago we talked about being rooted in Christ by way of salvation. Somebody cannot be planted by the rivers of water unless they are first saved by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth a little over 2,000 years ago. He lived for 33 years. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ was a perfect Lamb of God, was the perfect Lamb of God. The Bible says that John the Baptist, when Jesus Christ started his ministry, he looked at Jesus coming down the road and joining the crowd, and he said, "There is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." And so we see that God sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth. Jesus Christ was baptized to start his ministry. We realize that baptism does not save us. Baptism is a symbol of who we belong to. A baptism is a symbol of who we are associating with. Baptism is a symbol of what God is going to do as we obey him. He will use us. And Jesus Christ started his earthly ministry, performed miracles. He did amazing things for 3 years of ministry. And then he willingly gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Bible says that he was mocked, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was scorned, his beard was plucked from his face, a crown of thorns was platted upon his head, it was beaten into his skull. Bible says that he was whipped until you could not even tell that he was a man. Could you imagine? We see that he almost was whipped and beaten to death. The Bible says he was led with his own cross on his back, the rough timber of the cross, led to the place of Golgotha, where he willingly laid on a cross and had the nails pierce his hands and pierce his feet. And they dropped that cross into the Mount of Calvary there. The Bible says for the next hours, he began to speak and began to do the redeeming work that all of us trust in when we are saved. We are saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you are saved today, you are saved by faith, by the grace of God. You believing in the paid price on Calvary that Jesus paid. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He shed his blood that day on Calvary, and they took his body off of that cross, and they laid it in an empty tomb. And 3 days later, the Bible says he rose from the grave. Because we serve a risen Savior who paid the sacrifice for our sin, the Bible shows us that we can be saved, we can be born again. The Bible says ye must be born again. Jesus Christ himself declared, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you want to go to the Father, if you want to be in heaven, if you want to spend eternity in a place other than hell, the Bible says that you must trust Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made on that cross. And if you will trust that sacrifice and that shed blood for your sin, the Bible says that you are saved. That it is a gift from God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We've spent many, many sermons in throughout our church's history on that price that Jesus paid. But the Bible shows us that the way to be rooted and built up in him is to be saved. And the goal of the Christian life is not only to be planted in Christ, not only to be planted with Christ, not only to be rooted in Christ, but to be rooted deeply and to be rooted strongly. In Psalm chapter 1, as we have said, our theme verse is verse number 3 this year. If we are going to grow like a river, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Every single one of us, after we are saved, would like to live a successful Christian life. We want to accomplish something for Jesus Christ. We want to do something for Jesus Christ. Before we leave here, we would like to make a difference. I know in my own heart, there are times where I get away from that burden. I get away from those things that I want to do for Jesus Christ before I leave this world. The Bible says, if I'm going to be like a tree planted. We talked about being rooted in Christ by way of salvation. But it is impossible to be rooted in Christ by salvation and then grow. Listen, you can be saved. You can be on your way to heaven. You can absolutely know for sure you're on the way to heaven and then never grow. Just because you are saved is not growth by default. It's not growth by just osmosis. It's not growth by just being associated with Jesus Christ. Growth is work. Growth is something you have to pursue. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 that we're to be rooted and built up in Him. And the Bible says that we are to seek Him. So many people, they get saved and they ask Jesus Christ to come to their heart and they don't make church a priority. They don't make prayer a priority. They don't make Bible reading a priority. And the Bible says if we decide that we're going to leave the counsel of the ungodly and we're not going to stand in the way of sinners and we're not going to sit in the seat of the scornful, the Bible says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Listen, we cannot be rooted in Christ if we're not saved, and we cannot be strongly rooted in Christ and prosper in Christ if we're not in God's Word. And that is what we finished up with last week. The importance of God's Word in the Christian's life. The verse in James chapter 1 where it says to be swift to hear. Swift to hear. I'm looking for the verse there. Verse 19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We sometimes as parents, we tell our children, be quiet. The Bible says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Someone will say, I've got some parental advice for you. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If you want to be a good business owner, be swift to hear. We get all this practical advice, and those things are wonderful. But listen, the Bible is speaking. In verse number 19, it says in verse number 18, of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. The Bible's saying, be swift to hear God's word. I know I love to preach, and I'm glad you're here to hear the preaching today. But listen, you need to be swift to hear the word of God. You need to be swift to hear the things of God. The Bible says He will build us up and beget us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of His creatures. In the next verse it says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. You want to steer clear of worldly things? Get in the Bible. You've got to get in the word of truth. If your roots are going to run deep, if your roots are going to run strong, if you are going to be what God wants you to be so that you can be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, as the next verse says, you are going to have to make sure that you're rooted in the word of truth, rooted in God's word. I can't say it importantly enough today how important it is for you to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and salvation, but have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ by His word. The word is truth. We have got to make sure that we are making it a priority of our Christian life, that the word of God is in our life every day, every opportunity, every church service, every time we open our book for our Bible for devotions, every time we open the word of God in any way, we have got to make sure, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, the Bible shows us the importance of His word. But today I want to preach not only on salvation, being rooted in Christ in salvation, being rooted in Christ by His word, but I want to talk to you today about being rooted in Christ and His wisdom. What happens when you read the Word of God? You get a bunch of stuff flowing in, don't you? You get a bunch of words. You're looking up the phrase, as I did when I opened my Bible to James and began to study for these lessons. The superfluity of naughtiness. What? It doesn't sound good, but I don't even know what that is. And I don't want to be guilty of having some superfluity of naughtiness in my life. I mean, I just want to be careful. The Bible says vileness and lay apart all filthiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Well, I want the word of God to get in me. I heard a preacher say one time when I was young, he said, Matt, I want you to get in the word of God. But more importantly, when you get in the word of God, I want the word of God to get in you. I mean, it does nothing if all we ever do is read the Bible. And we're just reading and reading and reading. And we're not getting something out of that reading. The Bible says what happens that we should be getting out of God's word, the word of truth, the engrafted word. The Bible shows us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? So when I get this word, when I get this knowledge, when I get his word in my heart and in my mind, look at James chapter 3. What a wonderful conclusion to what he wants us to do with his word. He says, who is a wise man? And in verse number 13 there, sorry. James chapter 3 and verse number 13. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. What's the truth? What is it? God's word. Thy word is truth. Bible says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. But the wisdom that is from above, I don't know about you, I want that kind of wisdom. The Bible says there's two kinds of wisdom. There is earthly wisdom. It says, this wisdom, the one that is full of bitter envying and strife in your hearts, and glory not, lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. There is a wisdom of this world, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Listen, there's two kinds of wisdom you can exist in. There's two kinds of wisdom that you're going to display this week. You're either going to display a wisdom that is evil, a wisdom that is earthly, a wisdom that is foolish, a wisdom that is devilish, deceitful, or a wisdom that is peaceable and pure and holy and righteous and kind and meek and joyful and loving and pure. I don't know about you, but the choice seems kind of simple to me. What kind of wisdom I would like to have. You say, preacher, I want that kind of wisdom. Well, I got a verse for you. How many be honest enough to say that you lack wisdom that you need and you need God's wisdom? It better be every hand up in here. I'm telling you right now, because I will park right in front of your seat and I will preach to you and everybody in here will be like, go get them. Stinking prideful person, think they're wise enough. Go get them, preacher. Stand on the chair in front of them and yell at them for an hour. We all need that kind of wisdom. And the Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, how many of us is it? Hannah, you better get your hand up. I've seen you in school before. If any of you, us-ins, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. He doesn't make discretion. He doesn't say, well, let me see. Let's see how much you're giving at the church. Let's look at your giving record. Church attendance. Let's see God, I need wisdom. And God says, if you will ask me for wisdom, if you will be humble enough to come to me and say, I don't have it all figured out. How many is that again that don't have it all figured out? I'm looking. You better keep your hand up. I'm looking. All of us that lack wisdom, let us ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. One thing that God promises you that you can have from him. Now, these preachers on television, they're going to tell you, you give them $500 and God is going to give you back $5,000. And he promises you, he will not find that in God's word. But I can stand before you on the authority of God's word that is important, that we're rooting ourselves in, that is going deep in Jesus, that is going deep in these roots, that is strengthening us because we're in the word of God. He says, listen, if you're going to make it through this world, if you're not going to be uprooted by this world, if you're not going to be bowled over in the storms of life, if you're not going to be torn out of the ground by the storms of this life, you are going to have to get wisdom on how to handle those things. And if you want wisdom, if you desire that wisdom, if you're going to live with that kind of wisdom, just ask. Because existing in every single one of us is a little bit of earthly wisdom, and it's devilish, and it's deceitful, and it likes us to look better than what we really are. And it's hypocritical. And it's unholy at times. And it's manipulative. And it tries to guilt others. And the Bible says that kind of wisdom is what already exists here on earth. You just pick that up by existing. I got a little bit of street in me. I live here in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, but there was a time I lived in the city of Toledo, Ohio. And you don't know a whole lot about Toledo, Ohio, other than there is a lot of people that aren't nice in Toledo, Ohio. And we lived in a neighborhood that wasn't always so nice. And you just learn stuff along the way. I mean, you just catch it. It's like a disease. Like, I learned how to lie to my parents because of the people I hung around and the place I lived and just being a human. Just being a man, just being a young man, I just learned how to deceive my parents, and I just learned how to deceive my teachers, and I learned how to rebel, and I learned how to love worldly things. Listen, all of that is worldly wisdom and earthly wisdom. It's devilish, it's deceitful, it'll lead you down the wrong path. You'll gain money and it won't be the right kind of money. You'll get rich, but you'll be empty. You'll gain the whole world, but you'll lose your own soul. Because earthly wisdom is devilish. So I want to look today at the contrast between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom as we strive to sink our spiritual roots deeply in Christ. We will see that walking in Christ's wisdom is absolutely essential. You say, preacher, where's the warning today? We got some people who want to run this church with earthly wisdom. They look at it and they look at it through the lens of what makes sense to them. How they've always heard it, how they've always seen it, how they've always had it, how they've always what the book says about how to run this, that, and the other. And I'm just here to tell you today that I'm not looking for earthly wisdom to run this church. I'm chasing the face of God and seeking the face of God and seeking His wisdom. I lack wisdom. I'll be the first to tell you. As your pastor, I make mistakes. Now, please don't leave over that. I am not perfect. I know that there's half of you just totally disappointed right now. You just thought you had come to a church that was perfect. The other half, you're like, I know it ain't perfect. Give me a pen and paper. I'll let you know. Listen, we don't got it all figured out. You don't have it all figured out. None of us have it all figured out. I'm just telling you and being humble before you today and saying, I lack wisdom. And there are times where I've tried to run this church with some earthly wisdom. So I was reading a book one day and he said, if you're going to be a good pastor, you got to be a good CEO. There's some CEO in me. There's some I'm the boss kind of in me because I have employees. But this church isn't going to succeed if I become a CEO. Because I've read about some CEOs, and I've read how they've got to the top, and I've read how they stepped on people and how they use people to make their business successful. And the last thing you need your pastor to do is to use you. And the last thing you need a pastor to do is to treat you like it's business. And I'm just here to tell you today that I need your prayer because I'm trying to lead this church with godly wisdom, with heavenly wisdom, with wisdom from above that is pure and peaceable and righteous and good and kind and meek and joyful and loving. That's the kind of wisdom I want to lead this church with. And listen, can I just be clear with you? Don't try to figure it all out. If you think it's you, it's probably not. I got bigger fish to fry than you right now. Like, oh, I said that one thing that one time the other day. Oh, he's probably talking about me. Listen, we got that figured out. There are some things on the stove right now that are boiling over. And I'm just telling you, we're going to handle it with heavenly wisdom. We're going to handle it with godly wisdom. And we're going to do what God wants us to do. And we're just going to be what God wants us to be. And we're going to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And I'm going to get in the Word of God. And I'm going to try to bring you messages that root us as a church in Christ. So when the storm does come and when the doctrine of man and the traditions of man come along and they just try to bowl us over, we are not going to fall because we are rooted in Christ. Not because of my wisdom. I've already told you that's faulty. We need godly wisdom. We need wisdom from above. What's the demonstration of godly wisdom? Let's look at the demonstration of godly wisdom. How is godly wisdom demonstrated on a daily basis? It's not merely spoken. You don't speak wisdom necessarily. I know there's people that like to sit around and act wise. You ever met one of those people? I had a preacher friend. His name was Don Sable. He's just a great man. He was very wise. But I always thought he was so funny because you would ask him a question and he would just sit there and look at you. And you're just thinking, you're trying to intimidate me, man. Like, what's going on? Just answer the question. One time I said, I was sitting beside him and somebody come up and said, preacher, what do you think about this World Wide Web? This is back in like 99 or 2000. He said, What do you think about this World Wide Web thing? It was kind of getting moving and going in 98, 99. I was sitting beside him, and he just kind of folded his leg over, and he just kind of looked at him for a minute, looked down at the floor for a minute, literally a minute. No exaggeration. My wife will tell you, man. And then he looked back up at him, and he said, you know, I've never found anything to do with a web. Wasn't dangerous. And I thought, ooh. Like, man, I want to be wise like that. I want to be able to say stuff like that, like dramatically, like, and people go, oh, that's good. Oh, I'm going to write that down. Oh, yeah. This is good. I get done speaking, and people are like, is he finally finished? Like, goodness, man. Good gracious. But listen, there's wise people and they can speak wisdom. But there's some people that just think, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. And some people are just prideful. And some people are just want to speak all the wisdom. And they've got all the answers. And every time you say something, you're really not asking them for advice, but they just give it to you anyways. Don't you love those people? But I believe that wisdom is not merely spoken. It can be spoken, but it is demonstrated. Rootedness in Christ is demonstrated by the fruit it produces. And godly wisdom that is an essential element of that rootedness is demonstrated by the fruit it produces. By the fruit it produces. Wisdom without producing the right thing is not godly wisdom. If it does not produce peace, if it does not produce love, if it does not produce joy, if it does not produce meekness, if it does not produce temperance and kindness and faith and goodness, if it does not produce those fruits, it is not godly wisdom. Rootedness in Christ by wisdom is demonstrated by the fruit it produces. Number one, I believe it is shown in our works. I believe the demonstration of godly wisdom is the first thing here. It is shown by our works. Look in verse number 13 there again in chapter 3. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let's ask that question today. I'm looking for the wise men in the room today, wise women, who are endued with knowledge and are wise. Who is a wise man? Who is a wise woman? Who is endued with a godly knowledge, the word of truth? Who has knowledge from God among you? Well, then he answers it. He asks the question and he answers it. He says, let him show out of a good conversation his, what's the next word? Works. His works with meekness of wisdom. Show out of his works. It takes us back to the first verse of this chapter. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. The word master means teacher. One who has the ability to teach and give encouragement and knowledge. Verse 13 describes that godly master. He is endued with knowledge and lives that knowledge out with wisdom. Isn't it amazing when you read your Bible how many people you find with wisdom? True, godly, heavenly, fruit-producing wisdom. I think of Daniel. What a man. Lived in a wicked kingdom, lived under wicked kings, and yet was able to take a stand for God and be what God wanted him to be. He was able to show wisdom that was an amazing credit to who God was in his life. The rootedness he had in God, right in the middle of Babylon. Daniel 2:28, he says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Daniel said, look, everything I can tell you, everything I can show you, everything that I can say to you is from God. It would do us good if what we're doing on a daily basis points back to God. Listen, I want the music of this church to point to God. It's no secret. I've gone to Brother Richie and we've talked about certain songs and said, I don't know if that points to God. We'll probably not be able to sing that one. It's got a neat tune and there's a lot of people singing, but maybe not that one. Because we want every song to point to God. Well, we want every message to point to God. We want every Sunday school lesson to point to God. We want every offering and everything that is taken in by the church, we want it to point to God and say we're reaching out to our, we're taking care of what God has given us. We want people to come on this property and say, these people love God. When our children's programs are happening, we want people to say, they love God. They help my children to love God. How do we show people that? The Bible says we show them by our works. It is out of let him be endued, who's endued with knowledge, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Every school day, I want our staff to show these children the meekness of wisdom. I want every service to end up where at the end it shows the meekness of wisdom, not earthly wisdom, not earthly, sensual, devilish, deceitful, conniving, hypocritical wisdom. I want to see godly wisdom, heaven-sent wisdom. Listen, that ought to be your goal when you go to work tomorrow. Everything you do in that workplace, you should want out of a good conversation. That word conversation is not two people talking. That word conversation is an old English word that means your lifestyle. It means how you're living, how when the rubber meets the road, everybody in here, you are acting very good today. Not one person folded their arms during hymn time and said, I ain't going to sing. You've all had a pretty good attitude today. I asked you to open your Bible and you just opened your Bible. You're being very cordial today. During handshaking time, I didn't see one person punch another person in the face. I'm very thankful for that. I did see some women try to slap each other, but I think they got it under control. I think they got it figured out. Yes, Palmers, I'm looking at you over there. Just kidding. Just kidding. But it's easy to look right and act right and talk right and shake somebody's hand and hug somebody's neck and sing a song and open your Bible and nod a little bit to the preacher. But I'm asking you about your lifestyle. I'm asking about when you go home, do your children roll their eyes and say, they put on a pretty good show at church. Mom and Dad did. Grandma and Grandpa put on a pretty good show. All they've done since we've been home is complain. All they've done since we've been home is yell at each other. All they've done is cuss. All they've done is taken part of those worldly habits. And at church, they sound like they're pretty good people. But the Bible says the real test of your godly wisdom is in your lifestyle. It's when you go to work tomorrow. It's when you are away from the church service. It is when you are at home with your spouse. It is the way that you raise your children. It is when you go out in public and what you do out in public. The Bible says you should be endued with knowledge and wisdom and righteousness and peace and joy and love that shows out of a lifestyle. And that should be done with the meekness of wisdom. You know, I found out in life that it's not so easy sometimes to do that. It is very easy for a pastor to get up and say, live right, goodness. It's a whole nother thing to leave the church service and live right. It'd be very easy if when you got home, everybody got along. It's sometimes easy to speak right to each other when everybody's getting along. But what about when the children are disobedient? What about when sisters are fighting and brothers are fighting? What about when you don't see eye to eye with your spouse? What about when you go to work and a coworker has used you or your coworker stepped on you to get ahead and lied about you? Now what do we do? You're still expected out of your conversation to show forth works with the meekness of wisdom. And if I can just challenge you at the end of this message, it is not only shown in your works, but the Bible says in verse 13 there, it's shown in your spirit. It says that your conversation, let him show out of a good conversation his works. And then it says with this, with meekness of wisdom. You know, there's some people that do the right thing with the wrong spirit. I know it surprises you. You ever had your child obey you, but with the wrong attitude? Oh, just my children. Good. We got a little work to do, Mama. Hey, go clean up your room. I think I got a grizzly bear up in my house sometimes, man. Where's that growling coming from? Or all of a sudden they weigh 600 pounds. Well, Dad, that's how I normally walk upstairs. No, you just broke 3 steps. And that's not how we walk. Well, I did it. I'm just quoting Autumn this morning. It's great. Just kidding. You don't ever... You always have the good attitude? Okay. No. Should I tell them what I said to you the other day that wasn't very kind? No? What? Women ought to learn in silence in the church. Don't be talking up in the service. She just gave me some godly wisdom. She's right. Yes. Meekness of wisdom, okay. Don't embarrass your daughter every service. Got it. But isn't it, young people, there's a difference between just obeying and then obeying with the right spirit. Mom and dad, there's a thing of being good parents and telling your children what's expected of them, and then there's another thing to do it in the right spirit. There's one thing to go to work and do what the boss tells you to do, and then doing what the boss tells you to do with the right spirit. There's a difference between mom and dad getting along and just keeping the peace for the kids, or doing it with the right spirit. There's a difference between going out in public and being in the world but not of the world. And there's a difference between doing that and then just dreading every moment that you have to be a Christian. You can't do that, and you can't do that, and you can't do that, and just complain about it all the time, about what Christians can't do. The Bible says we should show forth out of our lifestyle our works. And here's how we ought to do it: with meekness of wisdom. It not only shows in your works, it shows in your spirit. Listen, I can tell sometimes when you're having a bad day. You know why? Not because you didn't come to church, you're sitting there. But there's a difference between sitting there, and there's a difference between your spirit being right sitting there. See, when we come to church, we're trying to show forth out of our conversation, out of our lifestyle, we're trying to show forth our works, and we're at church, and we got our kids at church, but are we doing it with meekness and wisdom? Are we doing it with the right attitude? Are we in church with the right spirit? Are we learning what God wants us to learn today? Are we doing it the way God wants us to? Are we trusting the leadership that God's put in our life? Are we learning what God wants us to learn from the leadership God has placed in our life? Not only you're there, not only you're enduring, but you're enjoying. There's a difference. If you're a parent, if you've ever been in charge of anybody, ever in your life, you know the difference between somebody doing it and then somebody doing it with the right attitude. And that's my challenge for you today. Let's have a church that is a great church, and an obedient church, and a loving church, and a kind church. But can I say this to you? Don't just be a church that's here, that just shows up. Well, I was there. Every once in a great while, I'll say to somebody, man, I missed you on Sunday. And they say, I was there. And then every once in a while, that's obviously my fault. I should know they were there. But every once in a while, I look back and I go, oh, yeah. They didn't have a very good attitude when they were there. Okay, they didn't really help the service with their spirit. And I know that sounds a little bit mean, but it's true. It's true of just showing up at work and showing up with the right attitude. It's a difference being married and being married with the right attitude. It's a difference between a child being in a home and obeying their parents and then doing it with the right attitude. God says here he wants his people that are rooted in Christ, that are rooted in his word, to be people who live their lifestyle by the right works, known by their works, but then known by their works with the meekness of wisdom. May God help us in these matters. Would you stand together before a word of prayer this evening or this morning?